I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Jeff Sessions was one of candidate Trump's most ardent supporters and gave up his long-held Senate seat to serve as attorney general. After recusing himself from overseeing the Mueller investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election, Sessions became President Trump's punching bag, who at one time complained, "I don't have an attorney general." Well, Trump won't have Sessions to kick around anymore after Sessions announced that he was resigning at the request of the president. That was yesterday. His temporary replacement is Matthew Whitaker, who will oversee the Mueller investigation before a permanent attorney general is selected. Now, Democrats are calling for Whitaker to recuse himself because of the critical things that he has said about the Mueller investigation. We asked Mark Mazzetti to join us. He's Washington investigative correspondent for The New York Times, joining us by telephone. Mark Mazzetti, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me on.
No surprise that Sessions' days were numbered. Anything significant about the firing yesterday?
Yeah, you're right. It was not surprising. You described him as the president's punching bag, and I was wondering whether that might even be an understatement. I mean, he was someone who was subjected to really ritual humiliation by the president, not only in public, but certainly in private. The day that Trump found out that Mueller had been appointed, he screamed at Sessions in private, almost moved Sessions to tears, and Sessions offered his resignation. So it was expected. I think the really significant thing was, of course, how it was handled. Not that Sessions was removed, but that they installed Matthew Whitaker, a real loyalist to Trump, someone who has criticized the Mueller investigation, as the person now overseeing the Mueller investigation. Trump could have just had Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein take over in the interim, but instead he actually put someone above Rosenstein, and that's what's caused a lot of concern.
And he was the announcement came by tweet, correct, from the president?
Yes, as the president does a lot of his personnel announcements, it came publicly by tweet. Sessions then made public his resignation letter, but it really wasn't a resignation. He said in the letter, you know, you asked me to resign and I'm resigning. So he was fired.
And there was no date on the letter. Again, any significance there?
Not that we know. It's certainly something, as you said, we've expected for some time. He had offered to resign, as I said, last year. So this was some time in coming.
Trump clearly never forgave Sessions for recusing himself from the Russia investigation and has said several times that he wants his Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn, of course, was an attorney that has a very checkered past, but nonetheless, and actually had worked with Trump when he was a businessman. Has he found his Roy Cohn in Matthew Whitaker?
Yeah, I think we'll see. The original sin of Jeff Sessions was, as you said, recusing himself from the Russia investigation. Trump never forgave him. He thought that as soon as Sessions did that, he lost control of things. So he has now put someone in who, you know, perhaps he thinks he can is more of a loyalist, is sort of the firewall that can keep things to get from getting to directly to the president. Now, it remains to be seen whether Matthew Whitaker will serve that role. There are questions about whether Mr. Whitaker is going to have to recuse himself because there are ties he has to people who are involved in the Mueller investigation. Now, we will see whether that happens. One would think that first and foremost, President Trump would want to put someone in who would not have to recuse himself from the Russia investigation because, as we said, this was the thing that so soured President Trump on Jeff Sessions. So a lot has to play out in the next few weeks.
Whitaker said several things. He actually reposted an op-ed that was in the Philadelphia Inquirer by George Perry, who talked about the Mueller investigators as a lynch mob. He also seemed to indicate that if Sessions were fired, that the budget for the investigation could be reduced. He also had some questions about whether it was legal or not legal when some members of the Trump campaign met with Russians at Trump Tower. All these things together. Are those the reasons you think that that Trump picked Whitaker?
We don't know enough yet about why Trump picked Whitaker, but you know, as you just listed, his thoughts about the Mueller investigation are now for the public to see. He has questioned the scope of the investigation. He's questioned, some of Mueller's decisions. And so now he is in direct charge of Robert Mueller. One of the things that people have focused on is his questioning whether Mueller should be going after investigating Trump's finances, Trump's business practices, etc. It should be pointed out that right now, as best we can tell, the real locus of any kind of investigation into the Trump business practices or the Trump organization is not in Mueller's investigations. It's actually in New York. The Southern District of New York is investigating Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer. And so that is not officially part of the Mueller investigation. So these are things that need to be untangled. And what Matthew Whitaker said in public as a commentator are now might be different from what he believes or can actually do as acting attorney general.
So Rosenstein is out. He is no longer overseeing the Mueller investigation, correct?
Correct. He is still deputy. For the moment, he is still deputy attorney general. But he does not oversee Mueller because now there is someone above him who does not need to recuse himself, at least for the moment. So Mueller doesn't have Rosenstein no longer has direct control over Mueller. And that's significant because there was this view that Rosenstein, as a career prosecutor, someone who moved up through the ranks of the Justice Department, was more traditional in how he saw the Mueller investigation. He was seen as, some saw him or wanted to believe, he was an ally in the sense that he would protect Mueller. He believed in the practices of the Justice Department. Whitaker's more of a wild card.
But as I understand it, Mueller has to, as the investigation goes forward, he has to get permission from the person overseeing his investigation about things like budget or subpoenas or indictments, that person has to sign off. So that would be Whitaker's job?
Yes, that's right. And one of the things that Whitaker had indicated as a private citizen was this idea that you could sort of starve the Mueller investigation, not shut it down, but you could really, cut the budget and maybe it would die on the vine. So he does have that power to, determine the budget and do in this job what he said should be done when he was a private citizen. That is significant. The other thing that is quite significant is ultimately he is the arbiter of what the what becomes of the final Mueller report.
Right.
And he, it was the Justice Department guidelines say that Special Counsel Robert Mueller gives his report or whatever conclusions he has to the Attorney General. The Attorney General then decides what to do with it. Now, there was this view, this belief that when Rod Rosenstein was overseeing it, he would most likely then turn over the conclusions to Congress, that he couldn't just keep it inside the Justice Department. He would, being conservative with a small C prosecutor, he would want Congress to be notified of the conclusions. Now, again, it's unclear what Whitaker would do. Would he then not choose to turn it over to Congress? Now, then it becomes interesting again because of Tuesday. No longer have the Republicans controlling two houses of Congress. We have the Democrats now in charge of the House starting in January. So now the House Judiciary Committee with Democrats in charge could try to compel the report. They could subpoena any kind of final conclusions of Mueller. They could get Mueller's investigators or Mueller himself to testify before the House Judiciary Committee. So the dynamics, because of the election this week, are quite significant. They've changed quite significantly.
And we heard Senator Coons of Delaware in our newscast saying that there needs to be some kind of protection for the special counsel. Do you think that could happen, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, there's been talk of this, of Congress legislating some kind of protection of the special counsel, even obviously before Tuesday's election. And I think there is Republican support for that. The Republicans have indicated that they do not want to see Mueller fired, that they want to see him finish his investigation. And so if there was movement in Congress, you might see bipartisan support for that.
Now, it's been Mueller was been quiet for the last a number of weeks, even 2 months leading up to the midterm election. Do you expect some announcement soon?
It's always hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, they're very quiet, aren't they? I mean, they're very
secret. I mean, we were expecting that around Labor Day, things would get quiet, at least publicly, and that's what happened, right? There were no indictments. Mueller's work continued in private, brought people before the grand jury, had private interviews, but there were no public statements, no public charges. And now that the election's over, we expect that that the pause is over and that we will see some action. And, it's always perilous to predict what it will be, but we've reported that there has been a lot of action around Roger Stone, President Trump's former advisor. A lot of Stone's associates have gone before the grand jury. It seems as if Mueller's team is encircling Stone, but what that might lead to, we're not sure.
I saw also that Donald Trump Jr. feels as if he is in the crosshairs or could be, subpoenaed, indicted?
Yeah, there are certainly reports of that. I mean, in a federal investigation like this, it's sometimes as illuminating to find out who hasn't been called before the grand jury or who hasn't been interviewed, interesting as a sign of who has. So best we can tell, neither Roger Stone nor Donald Trump Jr. has been called in to be interviewed by Mueller. That usually means it's not good for those people. It usually means that maybe there's a case being built against them. I don't want to say that there is, but the fact that Donald Trump Jr. Does not appear to have been called in as a witness in this is not a good sign for him.
About a minute before we have to say goodbye to you, are there names already being floated for Attorney General for the permanent job?
There were names that were floated before the election. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, his name has been floated. Others have been floated. This really caught people, I think, by surprise. Again, not that Sessions was going to get fired, but just the installation of Whitaker. Now, Whitaker now has, I think, it's 210 days he can serve as acting until Trump has to nominate someone new. So we have some time where Whitaker could serve as the acting attorney general before a permanent replacement needs to be found.
And I'm just doing the math very quickly here. That takes us well into 2019, correct?
Yes, that's right. So Whitaker really could have a very significant role in the future of the Mueller investigation.
We're going to leave it there. Mark Mazzetti, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Getting us up to speed on the firing yesterday of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and he is Washington investigative correspondent for the New York Times. Well, shifting gears, as we always do, we'll be talking with astronaut Scott Kelly after this very short break. Do stay with us. Much, much to talk about. We'll be right back.